Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your hosts, Sandra Flack.
Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6 says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families." Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and joining me today is Maryland adoptive mom, Tara Anderson. Tara and her husband, Chuck, are parents to three homegrown children, ages 28, 16, and 13. And their four Latvian loves, as they call them, a sibling group adopted from Latvia. Their ages are 12, 14, 15, and 19. Welcome to the show, Tara.
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
Very good. It's wonderful to have you on today, and I'm so excited that you're going to share your story with us.
I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So let's just start at the beginning. You have three biological children. What led you and Chuck to adopt four more?
It's actually really kind of a funny story. My father-in-law was adopted himself, and my husband has one brother. They each had two sons when we decided that we wanted to have a third child. They were pretty sure that the Andersons just didn't produce girl children. So we had decided and looked into adoption at that point. It was difficult for us to have our third child. It took a long time, and we were looking at adopting a baby. We reached out, we got our brochures, we started doing, do the research, and then we found out we were pregnant with a little girl. That was in 2005. I kept those brochures because my husband didn't know, but I had always wanted and felt called to adopt. And we kept those brochures for about 5 years in the bottom of my closet until we moved cross country for work for a couple of years. In 2010, I kind of put all of that aside. I had, two children at home, one that was grown and already in college. We really felt that we had the family that God had called us to raise. And then in 2012, we moved back to Maryland. We attended an Orphan Sunday event at our church. It was funny. My husband said, "I think we should go." And I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Well, I think we should go so we can learn how to wrap around other families that want to adopt." And I thought that was a great idea. I said, "Okay, let's go." And we walked in the door, and the very first thing he did was make a beeline for the If You Were Mine seminar table to sign us up to take the If You Were Mine seminar, which is a seminar that walks families that think they may want to adopt through the process of deciding if that's what God is really calling them to do. So I was shocked. I was trying to figure out what was going on. Next to that table was a table for Open Hearts and Homes for Children. It's an orphan hosting program. And we stopped there and knew instantly that God was calling us definitely to hosting. We knew that we could do that. We can open our hearts and our homes for 5 weeks to a child who didn't have a family. We knew that we could love them. We knew that we could share ourselves with them, share the gospel with them. But by the end of that evening, we knew for sure, both of us, that we were being called to grow our family through adoption.
Wow, that is incredible. And now you planned on hosting that next summer, right?
We did.
What happened? Tell us the next part.
So we at that time were looking for a child or two children. We put our order together. We didn't quite realize that that's, not how this worked. We had our plan, and of course God had his plan, but our plan was one child that was just younger than our son at home and one child that was just younger than our daughter at home. I had looked at the OHHC website hundreds of times, and I knew that there were not two children coming for Christmas that matched those requirements. So when my husband walked into our room and said, "Hey, I found our children," I was a little confused at first because I didn't realize that our children were lost. And then I realized he was talking about the children that we were hoping to adopt. And I said, "Well, where did you find them?" And he said, "Well, I found them on the OHHC page." And I said, "Well, that can't be possible." And he said, "Do you trust me?" I should have known that I was in for a, a surprise at that moment, but I got up and I went and I shook the computer mouse, and up popped a beautiful picture of four children. And I said, there's four children. That's not two. That's not our plan. And he said, but look, this little girl looks like she's just younger than our daughter. And she is indeed 14 months younger than our homegrown daughter. And this little boy looks like he's just younger than Gabe. And I said, you are right, but there's two more, including a teenage girl. And at that moment, I was like, not only no, but no way. How could we do that? They were being hosted by a wonderful family in North Carolina. And I said, you know, this family may be planning on adopting them. We don't know. And my husband looked at me and said, these are our children. He knew right away.
Wow.
I fought it a little bit.
Wow. Now, you, Orphan Sunday was a huge part of your story, and God used Orphan Sunday really as a catalyst to set children into your family. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Wow. I love that. That's an incredible Orphan Sunday story. And so I want to take a moment just to remind our listeners that Orphan Sunday and its foster care focused counterpart, Stand Sunday, is the second Sunday of November annually. So this year, it's November 11th, 2018. Make sure it is on your church calendar. It is one tool God faithfully uses over and over again to set the lonely in families. So, Tara, a month after that Orphan Sunday event that you attended at your church, before you even had a chance to host these four kids, you were thinking of maybe hosting them in the summer, they were with another family in the United States that Christmas in North Carolina. So you went to meet them. Tell us about that.
We did. We pretended that we were lifelong friends with this family in North Carolina who we'd never met before because we couldn't let the children know why we were there. We were still waiting to hear if this family was going to want to move forward. And this is kind of a God thing as well. They had it on their hearts to adopt for sure. They were having some medical clearance issues, and they had an appointment, a medical appointment, and they said, okay, if the test results are back and we are cleared, we will move forward to adopt the sibling group. If not, we will release them, and the Andersons will move forward. They went to their medical appointment, and actually, the test results were not in. So they released the children. We started our paperwork, and 3 days later, they got their clearance.
Oh,
it was
my.
Just a sign. They knew that those were our kids. And since then, they've gone on to adopt three children, one from the Ukraine, one from China, and one from Latvia.
Wow.
And we did, though, that Christmas, we spent 5 hours one day with the kids. And I honestly thought going to North Carolina, meeting these children, seeing how adding four children to our house would affect, you know, our kids and my husband, I really thought that, again, I was not on board with God's plan at this point. So I couldn't believe it when, as our van door was closing, my then 8-year-old daughter, who had not said a word all day about adoption to these kids, and she's a little bit of a chatterbox, so that was hard for her. As the van door closed, she slumped in the seat and said, we have to adopt them. And then my son said, absolutely. And my husband said, those are our children. And I was a little shocked. I wasn't sure. I just kept looking at these four beautiful children who were absolutely amazing, three of whom spoke no English. We knew it was going to be a tough transition. I mean, when you bring children from hard places home, it's a tough transition anyway. When you bring four children home, you know, it's hard. So I wasn't sure. I will say that God made his plan very clear in our life. I mean, the first was the medical appointment with the Allens, with Ross and Miley. The second was the first January, so just after we met the kids, we decided we were going to start our home study. And I dropped off our home study paperwork with a local agency. And that evening, one of the local churches in our area was having what they call a Lady in Fellowship together. It's a list night. And they go to dinner once a month, and they just pray together, and they, you know, fellowship. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I had never been able to go. My girlfriend had been inviting me, honestly, for years. And I looked at my husband, and I said, I really think I need to go, because I need to be with godly women who can, you know, pray for me, and I just need this. So I joined my friend, and she came over to me, and she greeted me, and she said, can we pray for you and what your family is doing? And I said, I would covet that. I would love that, please. So she said, I want to introduce you to my friend Lauren, who does adoptions here in Maryland. So I turned to this woman, and she had the strangest smile on her face. And I said, hi, I'm Kara Anderson. You know, what agency do you work for? And she told me, and I said, really? That's crazy. I just dropped our home study paperwork off there this morning. And she responded with, I know you did because I'm your caseworker.
Wow.
And at that moment, I knew that God had this and God was calling us to this, because what were the odds that I would be having dinner with our caseworker at an event that I had never been to, that she had never been to, because her husband had worked in D.C. up until like 2 weeks before that, and he didn't get home early enough for her to join the ladies. It was obviously a God thing, and that we were being called to these children.
That is incredible. So from there, you traveled in the fall, that next September, to Latvia for the adoption. You adopted the four siblings at one time, brought them home. What was that adjustment like, Tara, bringing home these four children?
I will say the first year was incredibly difficult. As I said, I joke that we broke every rule. We adopted out of birth order. We adopted four kids from severe trauma. We prepared as well as we could. But I was definitely at that point not trauma competent. I definitely cared, and I definitely was trauma compassionate, but I didn't understand what it meant. I didn't understand the development and the brain, you know, how the trauma would affect our kids and how we would have to parent them differently. You know, I think for me, one of the biggest surprises was that we had parented three children at that point, and it was a different, I mean, each of the kids were different. We had different challenges with each one, but we were good parents. You know, we knew what we were doing. This was a completely different experience for us. We had a lot of learning to do, a lot of education, a lot of things that seemed completely counterintuitive that we had to do to meet our kids where they were. You know, our children were 7, 9, 11, and 14 when they came home chronologically, but they were not those ages emotionally, educationally, really in any other aspect. So we had to meet our kids where they were.
I always tell families that really, especially if you've had biological children, it's kind of hard for you to make that adjustment to. It's a completely different set of parenting tools to parent children from hard places who have experienced trauma than the tools that you would use to parent biological children who've not had trauma in their lives.
Absolutely. I mean, even simple things like for my 14-year-old daughter, I would say things like, lying is wrong. I mean, that's a pretty standard thing that for our homegrown kids, absolutely, we told them that from pretty much day one, lying is wrong. But for my kids that came from trauma, lying was not wrong for them, because in many ways it saved their lives while they were growing up.
It's a survival skill.
I had to flip the script, right? It was no longer lying is wrong, because as soon as I said that, they were like, she has no idea what she's talking about, and I lost them. So I would say things like, you're safe now, you don't have to lie anymore. So even something simple like that was a completely different perspective of parenting.
Wow. And then now it's been something like 6 years. How have they adapted now? How is it now?
So they came home. Actually, we just celebrated our fifth anniversary.
Okay, 5 years.
Our fifth family day in September. They are doing incredibly well. We still have our struggles. I currently have 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 19-year-olds in my house.
Wow.
So I do joke that I sometimes live in a fraternity house, but and it's busy. I mean, they're all very busy. My 19-year-old is my oldest Latvian love, and she just started college, community college. She's doing quite well. She is, you know, she's working. Her work ethic is amazing. She has so many skills and has grown tremendously. Our homegrown kids have integrated. It's kind of interesting. A couple of our kids are still in counseling, as you can expect. And our counselor told me about 6 months ago that she thought we were crazy, and she never thought that we would be an integrated family. She said she did not see a path for our kids to really be true brothers and sisters. And she was amazed because 5 years later, they are true brothers and sisters. They fight like brothers and sisters, but they love like brothers and sisters.
Mm.
And it really is quite amazing. So now I have, this was a big transition year for us, actually. We have an incoming middle schooler. So my youngest Latvian love is in sixth grade. I have my 14-year-old is actually in public school for the first time in 2 years. She was homeschooled for a couple of years, so she's in eighth grade. And then our 15-year-old Latvian love, he just started high school. And then our oldest, as I said, started college. So they're doing tremendously well.
Oh, wonderful. Now, through that journey of parenting kids from hard places, you also became an affiliate trainer to educate people to become trauma-competent caregivers. You did this through Back-to-Back Ministries, which our friend Jane Schooler is a part of. Tara, tell us, why is it so important for caregivers of kids from hard places to be trauma-competent?
You know, it's incredibly important because, as I said, it's a completely different tool bag, a different toolkit that you need to use with these children. And whether you are an adoptive family, a foster family, a hosting family, honestly, if you are a healthcare worker or a teacher or anybody that works with kids from hard places, I think this is important because the training starts with the development of the brain and how trauma affects brain development. You know, it was one of the first things that I had to learn was my then 11-year-old son did not understand cause and effect. And that was really hard for me to grasp because what 11-year-old doesn't understand is you do this, it's going to cause this reaction. But he did not have the neural connections between his upper and lower brain to make that understanding, to have that understanding. So, you know, through the trauma competent caregiver training and learning about brain development, my favorite English word is neuroplasticity because it is the word. It means that your brain continues to form those connections between your upper and lower brain. And I call the upper brain is kind of like the gas and the lower brain is like the brake. And if the gas and the brake don't talk to each other, the gas just keeps going. Mm-hmm. And that's where my son was. He didn't have the executive functioning to make those rational decisions because he didn't have the neural connections. And it was imperative for me to understand that because until I really understood that this was a brain thing, I was just frustrated all the time with him. I was just, you know, I thought he was being intentionally having these issues. He was not behaving, but it really wasn't a behavior issue. It was a response to fear. It was fear-driven, and it was a response that was hampered by lack of those connections between his upper and lower brain. So that, I think, for me was critical, was understanding where my kids were coming from so I could meet them where they were.
Yeah.
Because until you meet your kids where they're not going to come to you and to where you are. You have to go to where they are.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I learned. It's so often, it's not that they won't do something. It's that they can't. And it's so crucial to understand that, especially as parents. It's also crucial for school teachers and anyone really working with children who have trauma backgrounds to understand really how the brain works, because that plays such a huge role in that. And our listeners can learn more about trauma-competent caregiving and training at back2back.org. It's back, the number two, back.org. Now, Tara, in the years since you adopted, you have hosted some other children through Open Hearts and Homes, and you're a volunteer coordinator in your region. You advocate for other families to host orphans from Eastern Europe. So tell us a little bit about what does it take to be a host family, and then tell us how our listeners can learn more about Open Hearts and Homes.
So, you know, the biggest thing with our program, with Open Hearts and Homes for Children, is that we're an all-volunteer-run program, and we're a Christian program. So our key thing is, can you share the gospel with the child? Basically, you need to give them a bed and love. They come for 4 to 5 weeks, depending on the type of the time of year. We host we have a hosting program at Christmas time, as we talked about. That's 3 to 4 weeks, and then we have a hosting program over the summer as well. The children come from Latvia and Ukraine. You have to do a home safety check. You have to be able to show that you can provide a safe environment. It is not a home study. It's just a letter. You know, social worker comes and checks out your house. You do your child abuse clearances. So there really isn't, the big thing is can you open your heart to a child who doesn't have that family support? Some of our children go on to be adopted. Some of our children are not available for adoption. It's not about adoption. It's about bringing the mission field to your home. A lot of families can't go on a mission trip because it's just too difficult logistically and, you know, financially. But this brings the mission field into your home. We have hosted twice. We, I have to say, have been blessed more than we've blessed, I think, most assuredly. One of the children that we hosted was absolutely, he was adopted by a family in our church, and we get to see him all the time. Another child was not. We were still advocating like crazy for him, but this is about showing them what it means to be in a family. I love this story from a friend of mine who is actually another mutual friend of ours, is Alex Krutov, tells a story about a young lady in Russia who was aging out, and he was part of his program in the harbor. And it was her turn to make the soup for the evening. And she went to the sink, and she turned on the water, and she let it run, and she let it run, and she let it run. And there was no soup. The house mom came in and said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, I'm waiting for the water to turn into soup." She'd grown up in an orphanage. She didn't realize that it just didn't happen.
Mm.
I mean, these children don't have the basic life skills in some cases to make it on their own. So coming to live with you for 5 weeks, you know, 4 weeks, it shows them what a family looks like, a family environment. It gives them life skills. You can teach them some basic cooking. The English that they learn in that month puts them ahead academically, you know, back in their home countries. There's so many things that it gives them. And for the older kids who have, you know, phones and social media, you become a safety net for them. I think about my own children. You know, I have lots of teens, and I think about the decisions that they're making in their lives right now and how they would make those decisions with no adult support, right? They're making these decisions on their own, these grown-up decisions these kids are making. Where if they have you, they can Skype with you. They can FaceTime with you. They can send you a message and say, you know, you can walk them through it. I have a friend who hosted their host daughter 7 times. She was not available for adoption, and they parent her with an ocean in between. But she's doing amazingly well because she has their support, and she knows that she can reach out to them if they'll be there for her.
Oh,
so just providing that love, that's really all it takes.
That's wonderful. Tara, what's the website where our listeners can learn more about the hosting program?
It is openheartsandhomes.org.
Wonderful. openheartsandhomes.org. So as we wrap up here today, Tara, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to know? What should their takeaway be from our conversation?
I think that the most important thing is that we can all do something. We believe in crazy love. We jumped in both feet. We brought home 4 children. Not everybody can or should do that. Not everybody is called to that. I don't believe that everybody should adopt. I don't believe that everybody should foster. I don't believe that everybody should host. I believe those that are called to do that should definitely answer that calling. But everyone is called to do something. You can wrap around a family that is involved with orphan care. You can get involved with an orphan care ministry. You can provide meals. You can mentor. You can be a big sister, a big brother. You can reach out to children in foster care. There is something for everyone to do. And I think that for me, that is the most important thing is that, you know, when you adopt, you know, children, it's like having a baby and you kind of become isolated. So reach out to your friends that are bringing these children from hard places. Become educated yourself so that you understand, at least from the outside, what is happening. And make sure that you are doing something. Like I said, we can all do something.
Yeah, I love that. If you're called, answer the call. And that call might be adoption, it might be foster care, but it also most likely is something entirely different where you can wrap around and support a family that's walking through this. Because I agree, it can be a very lonely place. A lot of folks don't understand what it's like to parent children from hard places with trauma backgrounds and how consuming it can be. And just, hey, if somebody's bringing over that meal, what a huge blessing for that family. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And pray for them also. Let them know that they're not alone. So I love that. Wonderful advice. Tara, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And thank you, our listeners, for listening today. You can find more episodes on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Also on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean as our podcast. You just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. And be sure to follow or subscribe to the podcast. Every 25th follower gets a free bag of Greater Things Roasters coffee. Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you to. And sometimes it starts with Orphan Sunday. Again, be sure to get that on your calendar for this November. You can learn more at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.